Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
Best continued wishes, my friend.
I appreciate that. Anytime, and anytime you need help on anything, you know, Greendale, Franklin, we can all get along, right?
So, you know, that was a really? That was a Lawn Wars shot.
Oh, okay.
Because he and I continue with the Lawn Wars whatever. He's like, yeah, if you need help on your lawn. From the likes of you, Lance Allen, absolutely not.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
8:15 on Wisconsin's Morning News at midweek. Greg Pancake Hill produces the program. Eric Bilstead, Vince Petrano here with you, taking you up to 9 o'clock. Adam's on the news, and Debbie, watch the traffic for us once again today. Coming up later in the program, excited to share this with you. I get asked, as you do as well, all the time, because we're friends, secondly, because I used to work there, and third, because people just sort of think we're omniscient.
we know everything that's going on.
Yeah. Right, yes. Yeah. But Lance Allen's last day at TMJ4 News was last month, and folks have been asking me, like, hey, what do you hear from Lance? What is going on? What's he going to do? And folks still wondering what all happened there. You and I were at an event together, and I ran into Lance, and we had been meaning to catch up for quite some time. And I'm like, hey, would you be willing to share with folks who listen to our show what you're up to, where they can still see and hear you, and what your long-term plans are? And he said, yeah, sure, open book, let's do it. So I'll bring that to you about 20 minutes before 9 o'clock today, my interview with Lance. I want to bring this up to you because you said something interesting to me about when I was kind of complaining. Doesn't sound like you. Complaining about what? I don't remember you complaining about anything. And complaining is a hard word. I'm kind of looking forward to it, but kind of not. It's one of these things as a parent. My twins are high school seniors. It's homecoming this week.
Okay.
And one part of homecoming for many of us, remember this, and probably your kids as well, is the Powder Puff football game.
Ah, yes. The girls play.
Yes. And what did you do for the Powder Puff when you were in school?
I was in high school, I think it was pom and cheer. The seniors would play the juniors. It was just those two grades would play each other. And usually it got pretty, like, they wore, like, mouth guards, and they went after it.
It got tough. Yeah. Every school is different and has its own traditions. When I was at Tosi East, it was a thing. But it was a thing that we did and we organized. And by we, I mean not me. Like, the girls put it together, and it was usually seniors against juniors. And then there was some sort of thing, and they went out. I think we just did it, like, out back by the school in the field.
And we as students sometime, I think I watched it once when it stopped after class.
Yeah.
After school. And
the thing, the school would come out and you'd cheer and whatever. But I remember it being a thing that we did. And by we, I mean the students. Students put it together. Students showed up. I don't even know if we had any supervision. Maybe there was an after-school supervisor who came out just to make sure nobody gets knocked out whatever.
Right.
But, you know, it was just sort of our thing.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight is the Powder Puff for Greendale. Oh. My daughter's a cheerleader. She's super excited to take part. She loves football. Doesn't generally play football. She says yesterday, she's like, do we have a football? Can you throw me some? we're not going to learn some right quick, but maybe ask to be on defense. But nonetheless, okay, that's tonight. I was surprised to learn a couple years ago when my other daughter was a senior. Wife's like, oh, yeah, we got Powder Puff tonight. I'm like, we do? She said, yeah, we do. What do I have? Parents go. I'm like, really? I'm like, yeah, it's on the football field. Parents go. Some of these parents are making signs. Like, making signs? I ain't got time to make any signs, nor do I have any real desire. Like, this is a fun thing activity. And so I'm caught between this odd moment of, I love to watch my kids do things and have fun and be joyful and enjoy their experiences. But I almost feel like this is not my thing. And you said something that parents so often now are hijacking their kids' stuff.
Yeah, I do feel that
We've made it our thing.
Yes, that we are living so vicariously through the kids that we amp it up, we ramp it up, we make it into this bigger, better, bolder, huge thing that we care about more than the actual child does.
And I'm not necessarily saying that's the case here. This might have long been the tradition in Greendale that whatever, parents and parents come watch, and, yeah. you know, if individual parents are free to express joy
of course.
About their kids. Yes. And anyway, so I'm not yes. bagging on anybody. I'm just saying it is interesting. I've noticed this shift and you made me think about it in those terms of, is it us who have come to say, I so loved these memories, or I so want to get those memories right now for my kids.
Yes.
And make them better for them, that we've sort of taken from them the ownership of these various things that we all just sort of did on our own.
Right.
And didn't care whether anybody showed up. In fact, I would have been mortified if my parents showed up for half the stuff I go to. I didn't want them around. And I had good parents.
Yes, of course.
Like, I loved my parents. I had a good childhood. But, like, I didn't want them around for my stuff.
Yeah, I think I think it's just maybe it's a Gen X-y thing. I don't know. Gen X or... I mean, maybe it's a back end of millennials where you just have this desire to, I think you said it best, you want to make sure your kid enjoys something that you enjoyed so mm-hmm. much. And that's one way to do it. But I also think there's a dopamine effect there. You know, when you see your kid having fun or being successful at anything, you enjoy that too. Just like a thumbs up on a Facebook post.
The other fascinating thing that we both noticed in our kids too is... Like I said, we wanted to do our own thing. We weren't interested in having folks around all the time. They want us there.
Yeah. Like, they're not
are you coming tonight? I'm like, are you coming? I wouldn't want them. Like, and if you're not there, then there's almost that pressure too of like, there have been things where I'd like to say, like, go ahead, just go. No, I don't need to be there. But then do you want to be the only one? Oh, how come Liv's parents aren't here tonight? No. Over Toronto, I heard him on the radio today. He doesn't want to do any of this stuff. No, that's not what I'm saying.
I love that you're worried about that.
Who is the mom? We had the Venmo mom. I don't want to do it. I feel the eyes on me when they're asking for volunteers. I don't want to be room mom, den mom, team mom. I don't want to do it. I feel the pressure.
I don't want to watch my kid play a sport.
Do anything.
Now, this is different than playing a sport. We should point that out. That something like this... This is
it's
like
an extra.
This is like parents when they... If parents are setting up... the homecoming dance for their group of kids more than the kids are setting yes. up their homecoming dance, right?
Like, or even their itinerary for the night. We're going to have pictures here because the moms and dads decided this yeah, is where yeah. pictures are going to be.
Now, I say that knowing full well that we've hosted pictures the last couple of years, and it's actually kind of fun. Right? Once the boys leave and they all the kids are gone, it's kind of nice with
and actually
the parents there.
In defense of that as well, if you don't step in as parents and start saying, this is where this is, it's a mess. The girl's like, well, this one says she can't make it until here. This one wants to go to the botanical garden. This one wants to go to the lakefront.
You know what, though? How did we do it then? Because my mom never helped me with my dances. She helped me get a tie or clothes or whatever, but she was never the one setting up the dinner.
Right.
Or saying who you're going to go with or what time everything's going to be.
We just did.
And my dad wouldn't know until the day.
He didn't even know it was homecoming.
Wait, oh, it's tonight? Okay, let's go.
Where's the boy going?
Yeah, should we take a picture? All right, where are we going?
He looks nice. Who are you supposed to be tonight?
Who's your date?
What is it, trick or treat? No, I'm going to the dance, Dad.
Which I fall in that category too often. Right. Like, wait, when is this? Who's going?
I'm not saying one's better than the other.
Yeah,
I just wonder. It was an interesting observation that you made about our generation of parents and maybe... What is motivating us to be more involved?
It's
is it for
yeah.
them or is it for us?
It's like paranoia. It's like, well, you know, getting caught up in the kids playing the paranoia game with the squirt guns. I mean, I have parents tell me all the time about it. I talk to you about it. Like, it's like we get caught up in that more than the kid actually cares.
Right. Mom drives the kid to go get somebody else.
Yeah, like, the squirter with the squirt gun.
All right. Well, I'll report back to you from the Powder Puff game, which evidently
yeah,
I am
to that. I hope they score.
Attending tonight. Can I leave at halftime? Start to like 7:30.
Ask Liv. I don't know. What would she like?
She said you don't have to go.
Oh, you are.
You
so
don't have
going.
To go.
You're
going to
love every minute of it.
8:23 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Brewers play tonight at 8:28 on this Wednesday morning. You know that massive aquarium that is part of Discovery World on the lakefront. Got all the fish in there. Kids yes. love to see it.
That's pretty cool. It's one of my favorite aspects of Discovery World.
And it's brought to you in part by the name that you see on it. It's called the Ryman Aquarium. And I want to pass along, Roy Ryman passed away this week. He was 90 years old. Sad for the community. And for me personally, because Roy was a friend. He was one of my neighbors in Greendale. Not an immediate neighbor, but I mean, we were in that community.
Of course.
And when we first moved to Greendale, he reached out to me. And I found his friendship to be an absolute gift. He didn't have to, but he just said, I'd seen you on Channel 4, and I thought it'd be nice to meet. And I was super honored for that and grateful for his friendship over these 15, 17 years or so. Best known for his publishing company, Ryman Publications. And if you don't know that, you will know this. The popular titles, Taste of Home. I mean, think of, if you're our age, that was in your house, right? Your parents got that magazine for sure. Yep. Country Magazine as well was another popular title. There were many more. These were mainstays in millions of homes across the U.S. And what made them unique was, well, first of all, they were produced. Ryman moved his publication company to Greendale in the 1970s. So they were created right here in Wisconsin. And he did his magazines at the time with no ads. And it was like revolutionary. And folks kept saying, and Roy told me this over the years, everybody came to me with a proposal to do advertising. And we could have made a lot of money that way.
Yeah, of course, right?
And he said, we just thought we were producing such good content and that our readers appreciated they didn't have to page through all these ads to get to the stuff that they wanted, that it wasn't worth it, and that readers would be willing to pay a subscription price for the content that they got. And it worked. It was a brilliant model. It was widely successful. So I thought that was interesting. I mean, how he got his start, you know, driving overnight for a story, just freelancing, doing different things. He's a great writer, and just interesting how he ran his business over the years. And then he transformed Greendale in part because he loved the community, but also because he had to. These magazines were so popular that Roy told me, and he wrote a book about this as well, about his life and his story. And in there is how the Ryman Visitors Center was born in Greendale. If you ever visited our lovely, my adopted hometown now, yeah, community, I mean, downtown's about two blocks, but a lot of it is Ryman and his footprint on that. They developed this visitor center because he said when the magazines got super popular and they would talk all the time about Greendale, where they were born and made, people started showing up to the headquarters. Fans of the magazines were driving to Greendale from all parts and just saying, hey, how you doing?
Want to look around.
Yeah, want to look around. And Roy's like, I have nothing to show you. Like, we're just, guy over here is typing. Here's the finance department, I guess. I feel like,
over here is where I eat.
Yes, this is my office, I guess. What am I? And also, by the way, in my free time, I'm running this company here. So, and it was so many. It was enough that he thought there's a there. One, to give folks who showed up something to see. But yeah, also, like, if he had such a following, should we provide something for people to do? And is it a way to bring people into the community? And they eventually did bus trips and such to Greendale. And there were walks around the neighborhood and various other things. And he created this visitor center, which was also home to the Taste of Home Test Kitchen, where folks who sent in their recipes, they would be made right there. You could actually watch them doing the baking and whatnot. And then there was the restaurant across the street, the Test Kitchen, which is now Joey Gerard's, but the Test Kitchen had its own restaurant where people could sample various recipes and things that were sent in. Later became a Heinemann's, a couple other things since then, and Bartolotta's has it now as Joey Gerard's. But that was Roy's legacy there in Greendale. Just a fascinating man. I've not seen funeral arrangements yet for him. He was born in Iowa and has a lot of ties to his alma mater, Iowa State, contributes very generously to it. Also spent time closer to his children, who are kind of scattered, but I believe he has at least one, if not many, in California.
Okay.
So he would stay there for some time over the years. But certainly my condolences to Roy's amazing wife, Bobby, who was a big part of everything that he and the family did, to their many children and grandchildren. Gifted businessman, fantastic writer, visionary, and a kind and generous philanthropist. Roy Ryman died at the age of 90 years old.
Schools closed in Lebanon today. And Hezbollah promising retaliation against Israel for what it claims was criminal aggression. Here's what happened. It appeared to be a sophisticated remote attack. Pagers exploded. Pagers being used by Hezbollah members.
Thousands of devices detonated in Lebanon after receiving a message yesterday, killing at least 9 people and injuring nearly 3,000. Hezbollah saying as many as 11 of its members were killed. Israel has not claimed responsibility, but a source says Israel was working to perfect what's called a supply chain interdiction attack. Lebanon's Council of Ministers called the attack criminal Israeli aggression.
ABC's Christiane Cordero, you may have seen some of the surveillance video of like grocery stores in different places where
people are just walking around.
Yeah, guy's looking at apples or whatever, looks down at his pager, which just got a message, and then boom, it blows up. And then guy is injured and rolling around on the floor. Hezbollah had ordered these pagers from a company in Taiwan months ago. And that company says, hey, no, we only sold it through this other company out of Hungary. Like, so there's a lot of finger pointing going right now. And they said, hey, we want you to use these pagers. That's what Hezbollah told its members. Use these pagers rather than cell phones, because there had been a fear that the Israeli military was tracking those phones.
The Israeli press reported that the attack on the Hezbollah pagers was planned for several months, but that Israel moved up the timing after Hezbollah became suspicious. Arab press reports said pagers also exploded in Syria. Analysts said the attack moved Israel and Hezbollah closer to an all-out war that could become a regional conflict.
So, yeah, that's reporter Linda Greatstein there. Hezbollah vowing revenge on this. Israel not talking, saying, hey, there's nothing that, you know, they're not admitting that they did anything. The U.S. says, hey, no, we had nothing to do with this.
And, in fact, didn't even know.
Right, didn't know that this was happening. Now, we're told that some of those who were injured and killed were children, so you don't know quite exactly how Israel, if it was in fact Israel, but the reports indicate that it was, how they knew that these were all going to be Hezbollah members who got these pagers. But ABC Steve Gagnard says it wasn't. It was a very specific plan.
These were not lithium-ion batteries cooking off. These were explosives.
So these devices had been modified by Israel spy services, according to Reuters, at the production level. So they injected the board with whatever they needed to. They got it inside it, then put them together and saw this play out.
The Israelis likely saw an opportunity, bought up thousands of pagers, took them apart, inserted explosives, and then put them back on the market to sell directly to Hezbollah. And then using the radio frequencies that normally bring data into that pager, they simultaneously detonated all of the pagers.
Yeah, and some people killed, others injured, others maimed. And what's so amazing about this is that the secrecy is now gone. Families in Lebanon could have lived for years next to a member of Hezbollah without ever knowing that their neighbor was part of the militant group. You may never have even known your cousin was, but all of a sudden your cousin now has got this
major, pocket blew
yeah,
up.
Major injury from a pocket explosion because for whatever reason he was carrying a pager around. Pagers aren't really used all that often.
And so the intelligence is suggesting that these weren't taken and just put on the shelf at Radio Shack.
Correct, right.
Like this was a shipment that they knew specifically where it was going to go.
So Hezbollah now vowing revenge. This is concerning for many that are following this closely, thinking that this could be another step toward an all-out war in the Middle East.
844 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Coming up next, Deb, we're going to find out what's going on with Lance Allen.
Okay.
A friend from TMJ4, almost 30 years as a sportscaster there. He had his last show, I believe, last month, and folks keep asking us, hey, what's going on with Lance? So we will answer that question for you next. 848 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Number one question you and I both get asked anytime you meet somebody who listens to the show.
Hey, what's the deal on Lance Allen?
That's the number two question. You answered that wrong.
Oh.
Number one question is obvious. Hey, what time you guys got to get up?
Oh.
Right?
Sorry, I had no idea where you're going. I was like,
That's accurate, though, right? Everybody wants to know what time we get up.
That's true.
Because we're in here super early.
Yep.
I get up at 3:20 a.m.
Okay.
What time do you get up?
I don't sleep.
The man's here always. Fine. Don't share that information.
It's somehow proprietary
information. Okay. Nobody asks.
Anyway,
nobody bother asking Eric ever when he gets up.
I could have sworn we were talking about Lance
answer. We are. So, to your point, honestly, it happens to both of us. Like,
yes.
Hey, what's the deal with Lance Allen? Now, Lance, as you know, after nearly 30 years in sports at TMJ4 News, was let go last month. A decision the company made, announced in a bit of surprise by Lance on his social media months ago. But we were together the other day. Eric and I were with Lance at an event, and I asked him if he was open to talking about the situation, sharing that with all of you. So here's what he's up to and how he's left things with TMJ4.
It's kind of an interesting situation where, you know, I'm getting older like you, so I don't sleep that late. It's not like I'm sleeping in all day. And the second thing is, it's actually been kind of interesting where Badgers Radio Network, IndyCar asked for me to do some stuff. I've had a lot of freelance opportunities. I've had a lot of interesting opportunities. And you know, Vince, like in the media business now, it's so I don't know if fragmented is the right word, but you can do as much or as little or as much as you like or whatever in certain aspects.
So you definitely want to stay in the sports game. Do you see yourself doing this? Little Badgers, little Packers, if that were to come up, something with the Brewers if they need something. Is this kind of what short-term looks like for you?
I think so, Vince. You know, it's one of those situations where now, and you've been around the block a few times, so have I, it's really interesting that now, do you do like the hybrid model? Do you do like basically like a little bit of this, a little bit of that, whatever, or do you work in the business world and then also still dabble in the sports world? There are a lot of different possibilities now and a lot of different mediums and a lot of different platforms.
I know we are blessed to do the work that we've done, and you, I have a lot of gratitude for that, but man, sometimes it's a tough business, and you got three kids in college.
Yeah.
So, you know, how are you managing the worry and the stress of this sort of new world and knowing that you got big bills?
Vince, we party every night.
Yeah, we don't even care.
You know, it's like, hey, dad's got no job.
That's not true.
Yeah, we got three kids in college. They all went off to college. Literally, like, August 31st, they're off to college. September 1st, guess what? Dad is technically unemployed. That's reality, you know. But, hey, nobody's there to cry for you. You got to pick yourself up, buy your bootstraps, do what you got to do. And I think I've been blessed enough that there are a number of people in the community who have reached out and said, hey, let's try this. Let's do this. Let's talk about this. And I'm willing to have a conversation. And I think that's really cool. I mean, being invested in the community for 28 years, I'm willing to listen. And I think there's a lot of really good ideas out there.
Certainly didn't end how you would have wanted at Channel 4. What are your feelings having left there, having had a great career, but didn't end the way you wanted?
Yeah, I don't think a lot of times it ever ends the way exactly you want it. Would I have liked it to end it differently? Absolutely. But I think overall, I was blessed, Vince, and you know, like a kid that grew up in this state, you know, to work and cover everything basically that you ever wanted. I covered every major event except a World Series, and hopefully that happens at some point.
We got to.
We got to get that at some point. And you know, the story is I got there just a little bit before you, and in 1996, I walk in the back door where the old mailroom was, and one of the first people I bump into is Jim Irwin. And the soundtrack of our childhood for you or for me, for kids that grew up in Wisconsin, was Jim Irwin, Bob Uecker, Eddie Doucette. Literally. And so I walked down the hall, and I knew Jim a little bit, but I was literally like Wayne's World. I'm not worthy. He stuck his hand out and said, Lance, they hired you for a reason. You're my peer, not my understudy. And that meant the world to me, you know, to walk into that situation and to work with all of the legends and to be around for a long time. The Hank Stoddards, the Dennis Krauses, the Kevin Hunts, the Jesse Garcias, all the great people who work there. It's just an honor.
So you're not dead.
I'm not dead yet. Still around and haven't heard
the last from you.
Not yet. So yeah, I'm around. I'm a community guy. Let's have a conversation. I'm serious. I'm open for business. Open for business. Right. I'm ready, willing, and able. Let's put it that way.
Best continued wishes, my friend.
I appreciate that. Anytime, and anytime you need help on anything, you know, Greendale, Franklin, we can all get along, right?
So, you know, that was a Lawn Wars shot.
Oh, okay.
Because he and I continue with the Lawn Wars whatever. He's like, yeah, if you need help on your lawn. From the likes of you, Lance Allen, absolutely not.
I get it now. Okay.
But, I mean, if you ask me to predict, Lance will remain in sports in some capacity. His contacts at all our major teams. He is doing some work with the Badgers, as he indicated.
Yep, yep.
And so probably we'll see him in that way. But right now there's plenty of work to do on a piece-by-piece basis, and is in a good spot. So I appreciate him being willing to share that with everybody. It is 8:53 on Wisconsin's Morning News. WTMJ forecast sponsored by Dave Drake Camp Heating, where your comfort is their family's tradition. Maybe a morning shower or storm on Friday. That's the next drop of rain in the storm team forecast. Both today and tomorrow, high temperatures in the low to mid-80s.
All right, so today could be the day for Brewers fans. What's our magic number?
Just one.
Thank you, Greg. Okay. And because of that, Matt means you got to put the bottles in ice and get ready for a big night tonight or this afternoon, because all you need is one win or one loss. Cubs play this afternoon.
So the Brewers should know before they take the field tonight whether or not they've already clinched the National League Central Division crown.
Right. So how do you feel about that? You like that or no?
Since the Cubs are an irrelevancy at this point, but for this one game, which is going to get taken care of, I'd go ahead and win today, Cubs. I want to win. I want us to win going in.
Beat Aaron Nola, one of the best.
Be phenomenal.
There. Beat the Phillies tonight. And
now that would be a
celebrate.
Party.
Now, by the way, they're still throwing a party tonight after the game. If the Cubs win, it doesn't matter what happens tonight. Or, I'm sorry. If the Cubs lose, doesn't matter
there's
what happens
party
tonight.
Anyway.
There's going to be a party tonight, no matter what. Could be a no-hitter. They'll still throw a party.
858 WTMJ Political Power Hour with Steve Scafidi is up next.